I want to read this evening a couple of passages from the Gospels. First from the Gospel of Matthew about the birth of Christ, and then from the Gospel of Luke in Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, and then I'll turn to the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. So, first of all, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 18 and following, and after I read these portions, I'm going to turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, to chapter 3 and verse 8. So, first of all, in Matthew, the familiar words concerning the birth of Christ. Hear God's word. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary his wife as his wife. But he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And then in Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, the first few verses. Again, these quite familiar words. Luke 2, beginning with verse 1. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And then in Paul's letter to the Galatians, just one verse, chapter 3 and verse 8. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And as we meditate on your words in the scriptures this evening, just for a short time, we pray that you would open our hearts and give us understanding. And we pray most of all, Father, that we might trust you and understand that it is through your blessing us in Jesus Christ that we have life and have life eternal. So give us your grace, we pray, in these next minutes especially, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The narrative in the book of Matthew, which we just read, begins with this little story about Mary and the fact that she was engaged to Joseph and was with child by the Holy Spirit. And so it was that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, came into the world and took to himself human flesh, just like yours and just like mine, in order that he might live and die and bring us great blessing by bringing us into fellowship with God. And this is really what the text in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 is about. It's about Abraham, yes. Abraham, who lived 2,000 years before Christ. That's a long time, isn't it? I suppose your parents were like my parents. They used to say to me, just remember, Denny, days seem like they're really long now, but when you get older, you'll look back and you'll wonder, where did all the time go? I see some of you nodding. Such is the case, is it not? Well, it's a little hard for us even to comprehend a couple of thousand years or 4,000 years when you think about it, when Abraham lived in the world. But then 2,000 years ago, in response to the promise God gave to Abraham, Christ came. And then 2,000 years later, guess what? Here we are. We are here and contemplating these very things. So we've got 2,000 years from our time back to Jesus, and another 2,000 years back to the time of Abraham. And all of this is tied together by God to give you and to give me great blessing in Jesus Christ. And this is what our text really is about this evening. Galatians 3:8 begins in a rather strange way, I think. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. The scriptures foreseeing. Now, I didn't know this book had eyes, and I didn't think this book had a mind. Well, it really doesn't, does it? But the Bible is saying here, the scripture looking ahead. Now, what could it mean? Well, actually, I think what it means is that the Spirit who inspired the Scriptures written by Moses looks ahead. Do you follow that? The Spirit which inspired the Scriptures written by Moses looks ahead. It's sort of like this. You've heard news stories talk about SUVs, sport utility vehicles. And the news article or the news report would go something like this. The SUV sped over the speed limit and hit a fire hydrant on Federal Street, and water was all over the place and stopped traffic for hours. Well, I didn't think that SUV had a mind of its own. You see, it was actually the driver who sped swiftly in that SUV and struck the fire hydrant. But the news articles tend to leave out that little detail for some reason. Well, I think this is what's happening in the Bible here. The Scriptures foreseeing. You see, it's not the Bible itself that's foreseeing. It's the one who wrote the Bible who foresees, who looks into the future. And it's very easy for God, it's very easy for the Spirit of God to look into the future, because He knows the end from the beginning. And He knew the end from the beginning when Moses wrote in Genesis and when Paul wrote in Galatians. And friends, He knows the end from the beginning today. Isn't that right? He knows the beginning of your life, and He knows the end of your life, the Alpha and the Omega. And so, I wouldn't fret if I were you, because when my time comes and when your time comes, it is as God determines and as God foresees it coming, and you will rest securely in His hands. The Scriptures foreseeing. And what do the Scriptures, or what does the Spirit foresee looking ahead? Our text again. The Scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. Looking ahead, the Spirit of God who inspired Moses to write in Genesis, He looks ahead and He sees that God would justify the Gentiles. Now, it's a little hard for us to grasp the significance of this. The text speaks about Abraham here. And Abraham was the father of the Hebrews. He was called Abraham the Hebrew. And all of his family, all of his children, all of that nation that stemmed from Abraham has been called the Hebrew nation or the Jewish nation. And who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are everyone else. Everyone outside of that family. On other occasions, I've asked a congregation, how many of you are of Jewish heritage? Would you raise your hand? Okay, one. This is very unusual in a congregation of this size. I a few months back, I asked a congregation of 250 people or so, and one lady timidly raised her hand. Well, what does this mean? All of the rest of us are what? Gentiles. You see? We're outside of that family. And what Paul says here is that God, or the Scriptures, looking forward, saw that God would justify the Gentiles, people like us. So that's very hopeful, is it not? this text is really then about you and me. How many of you remember your catechism? What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace whereby He pardoneth all of our sins and accepteth us as righteous in His sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. That's right. You get a star. Okay. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace. Justification is a gift of grace whereby God pardons all your sins and my sins. Think about that now. And the text says that God would justify the Gentiles, people like us. Thank you, Lord. Pardon all of our sins and accept us as righteous in His sight. Look at you and look at me and not see sin and uncleanness. Now, I know that some of you, at least, have committed a sin or two in your life. That God would look at you and me and see righteousness, goodness. Why? Because of the gift of God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness to us, given to us. What a thing that is. And received by faith alone, by trusting Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at our text again. Therefore, verse 8, the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. The Spirit who inspired the Scriptures written by Moses preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Now, what's this little word beforehand mean? It simply means that the gospel was preached to Abraham before Christ came. Before Christ was born. The gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, was preached to Abraham. Wouldn't that be the meaning of the text? I think so. And how is it that Abraham would have heard the gospel? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit more now. In a moment, but think about this. The good news preached beforehand to Abraham. And it was the good news about the coming Savior. The Savior promised, the Savior who would come. Just like the gospel was preached to Adam and Eve in the garden after they sinned. And God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed, that is, the seed of the woman. I will put enmity between you two and your seeds. And ultimately, the seed of the woman is Jesus Christ. And Adam and Eve heard the gospel then, you see. And later, Abraham heard the gospel. And Isaac heard the gospel. And Jacob heard the gospel. And the 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs, then heard the gospel, you see. And that wasn't the end of it. They heard it beforehand. This is what the text is telling us. And David heard the gospel. And Solomon heard the gospel beforehand. The promise of the coming of Christ. And they believed that. They trusted in that promise. And so on down the line. This is what the text is telling us. Now, doesn't this mean that you and I are in a very privileged position? I think you should realize this. Years ago, I remember standing in a Sunday school class, and an elderly gentleman who had recently come to faith in Christ said to us in the class, we were talking about Moses, and he said to us in the class, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were back in the time of Moses?" I see some wrinkles in your foreheads. But that was his view. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were back in the time of Moses, where all these wonderful things were happening? I said, time out. Moses looked forward to all the things concerning Christ. Where are we? We are in a much better position. We can look back at what God has done. We can look back at what God has done in giving the great gift of Jesus Christ. And not only so, we can look back and understand that the Bible, the Word of God, is completed, and that we have the Word of God completed in the Bibles in which we hold in our very hands. We're in a much more privileged situation than those earlier individuals who heard the gospel beforehand. Well, let's move on a little bit in our text then. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "All the nations will be blessed in you." Now that's really kind of the abbreviated promise. The promise expanded just a little bit, as it often is in other parts of the Bible, would be something like this: "In you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed." You see, the promise to Abraham was not that the world would be blessed just because he lived, but that the world would be blessed because of a child that would proceed from his own body and from his own lineage. And in Galatians chapter 3, if you have your Bible, in verse 16, it says, "Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." He does not say, "and to seeds," as referring to many, but rather to one, "and to your seed," that is Christ. You see, this is Paul's interpretation of the promise, that the seed which would bless the world, all the families of the earth, would be Jesus Christ. When you go to the hardware store, I assume on occasion you may have been to a hardware store, and you buy a bag of seed, and you open that bag, what do you find? Thousands of seeds. And there's a sense in which when you look at the promise, in you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, you can think of thousands of seeds. Thousands of children. But there was one child out of those thousands and tens of thousands about which God was preeminently concerned when He spoke this promise. And Paul picks out that seed in verse 16. It wasn't seeds, as in the whole bag, that God was so much concerned with. But it was the single seed who is Jesus Christ. And it was this Jesus who came into the world through the Virgin Mary and was born on that night in Bethlehem. And the very Son of God was held in a mother's arms, Emmanuel, God with us. See, this is what Paul is talking about. The Scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in you. And it was by this Jesus that the promise was fulfilled. And how is it, friends, that the nations are blessed? By believing the promise. By believing in this Jesus. God promised that the Gentiles, people like you and me, would be justified, would have our sins forgiven, and receive the gift of righteousness by simply saying yes and amen to Jesus and believing in Him. That's where the blessing resides. And it's no mistake that all of this comes about. Listen to again to what the Gospel of Luke says at the beginning of chapter 2. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And by the decree of Caesar, she and Joseph went to Bethlehem, and there the Savior was born. But it was not, friends, simply by the decree of a human governor, but it was by the decree and the plan of God that all of this took place. For the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And so, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem in response to the promise given to Abraham 2,000 years earlier. And you and I, who are here this evening, have the privilege of contemplating the good things concerning Jesus Christ 2,000 years after His birth. And so, you're tied back to Abraham and the promise given by God to Abraham, because you're one of those Gentiles, and so am I. And it is by faith in Jesus Christ, the Promised One, it is by faith that you are justified and have forgiveness of your sins and righteousness that comes from God. In our day, there is so much talk about Christmas that takes Christ out of the picture. But not for you and me, I trust. Not for you and me. The blessing of Christmas, the blessing is in Jesus Christ. And you are required to believe in Him. The Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." That promise, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, is your blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are good and gracious altogether. How wonderful it is that you saw fit not only to utter a promise to a man so long ago, but you fulfilled it explicitly in another man, even Jesus Christ, the God-man. And we may look back upon Him and be blessed, having our sins forgiven and having the gift of your righteousness by believing in this Jesus. Thank you that this is the case. And I pray, Father, that you'll be pleased in these next days to bless these folks, to fill them with your Spirit, and to fill them with the joy of knowing the Savior, the promised one who did indeed come, and by faith in Him blesses each of us. Hear us, we ask, in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.